Okay, I call the Blaine City Council meeting to order approximately 6:07. And maybe have a moment of silence, please. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have roll call, please?
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Alicia Rule.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
And Eric Davidson.
Here.
Meg Olson requested to be excused tonight.
May I have a motion?
Second.
To excuse?
Okay. Been moved by Counselor Lawrenson and seconded by Counselor Hawkins to excuse Meg Olson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. We have some awards and recognitions this evening. This is one of the funner things the mayor gets to do. We do have some dedicated community volunteers this evening, and Sandy is only one of them. But I do have some things to say about what she's done in the community. And this is a service award. It's not our Blaine Builder Award this time, but it's a service award for Sandy. Sandy Miller joined the Park and Cemetery Board in June of 2010 and has spent over 7 years helping guide the city's policies on park and recreational uses. Shortly after joining the Park and Cemetery Board, Sandy was elected chair of the board by her peers, where she oversaw many exciting projects, including the Marine Park Playground, the Marine Park Beach Reconstruction Project, the Skate Park Renovation, the Park and Open Space Levy Committee, and the Peace Portal Community Trail, to name a few. Sandy was a strong advocate for the City of Blaine Cemetery and played a key role in prioritizing the cemetery niche wall project, which is planned for later this year. Sandy's positive energy, sensible approach, and leadership will be missed. Thank you, Sandy, for your service.
Thank you.
All right. And here's your service award from the city.
Thank you very much.
Thank
it was
you.
A really enjoyable board to be on, and I'm going to miss it.
All right. Thanks very much. Okay, I've got a Blaine Builder Award here. I have two of them to give out, and the first one is actually to two people, two of my favorite people in this community for what they've done, and Brian and Diane Major. Would you please come forward? Oh, all of them together. Okay, and can I have Ann Abrams, too, please? Apparently, this is kind of written for all three of you. So, okay. And there's a Blaine Builder Award for you and for the two of you.
Thank you.
And I want to say a few words about all three of you. So, why don't you turn around and face the audience, and I will. There you go. That's a good picture. The International Art and Music Festival at Peace Arch Park took place for three days each from 2012 to 2016. The festival featured artists from both sides of the border, gourmet food and wine, live music, all in the beautiful setting of Peace Arch Park. The festival was organized by two women, Diane Major and Ann Abrams. Diane brought together the vision of festival with a background of experience working in the Seattle art community, where her husband Brian, a renowned artist, and I can vouch for that. I've seen some of Brian's work, which is excellent, where Brian, a renowned artist, was often sought after for commission artwork, as well as was chosen as the Bellevue Art Festival's featured chalk artist for 11 years. Anne focused more on the festival details, such as the festival layout and accounting to the penny, with a background as a civil degree and also an accomplished quilt artist. Together they created the superhuman team, or as Diane's husband, Brian Major, refers to them, the superhuman team. All right. Anne met Diane at the Blaine Mother's Day studio tour, and both being from the East Coast, immediately felt a connection. Diane and Anne teamed up together the following year to organize the Mother's Day studio tour. That year, several artists whose art studio was located outside of the Blaine area participated in the tour by displaying their artwork at the Peace Arch Park kitchen. This proved to be a success, giving Diane the idea of artists from both sides of the border coming together at the park to create a boutique version of the Bellevue Art Festival. The festival was a success and continued for 4 years. However, sadly, for a variety of reasons, Diane and Anne had to make a decision to step back from organizing the event. They both remain active in the community. When the economy crashed in 2008, Brian and Diane received some advice to do something for your town. Diane took this to heart and joined the Blaine Chamber and continues to be active in Blaine activities and events, such as organizing holiday harbor lights and volunteering to promote Blaine at many trade shows. If it is about community, she is the first one to say, "I can do it." Brian loves a crowd and is currently the parade announcer, and you did a terrific job of that, Brian, for the 4th of July parade and also the announcer for the holiday harbor light tree lighting. Diane and Brian also worked on the chalk art contest mural. Anne says that school is her number one passion and has volunteered at Blaine Schools, and currently both Anne and her husband, Dr. Michael Abram, a well-known scientist and chemist, volunteer at the Blaine High School in the AVID, A-V-I-D program, tutoring students in AP chemistry and geometry. Advanced placement, I assume that means. Thank you all for your hard work and to organize the International Art Festival, as well as volunteering in the community of Blaine. Your efforts are building a better Blaine both now and for the future. Thank you so much. Thank you, Anne. Thank you. Okay, squeeze in here a little bit. Can you see those plaques? Got it?
That's good.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It has.
Okay, the next part of our agenda is audience participation. We have a sign-up sheet. If you haven't signed up, you can still speak, but I do have people on the list to speak, and you're allowed 3 minutes for speaking to the council. The first one is Janet Picard.
Hi, Janet Picard, 733 Adelia Street, Blaine. I just came to the council to seek some advice on where I could find a speaker on the topic of the Main Street Downtown Revitalization Program, to speak to our neighborhood association in our February meeting. And is there any council member that is involved in that?
This is our chairman.
As it turns out, that'd be me. I'd be happy to speak with you guys. We can kind of probably do it aside, and we'll just set a time to do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
That's all I asked for. Thank you so much.
Okay, next we have John Bunch. Is that correct, John? Could you state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is John Bunch. My address is 240 Martin Street. Mm-hmm. I would just want to say that I'm a disabled veteran, and when I moved into the motel that they got me in to find housing, it was nothing but a drug hotel. And now it's turned around, because I told the owners and everything, and they get kicked out, and I told the police, too. But my problem is that the bar, they're smoking, and by each, the glass is 25 feet from every door. There shouldn't be anybody out there smoking. And there's not only smoking cigarettes, but they're smoking meth. Alright, and they're selling oxycodone, alright, because my window's right there with my oxygen machine blowing in, and I asked them nicely to move away from my window. I've had guns pulled out on me. I went to the police department and told them, a guy pulled a gun out on me. He said, I'm 32, you guys please be careful, alright, when you see him, because if he's going to pull a gun out on me, he'll pull a gun out on you guys. But if you guys could put some signs up, all right, says that there's no smoking out there, because there shouldn't be anybody smoking in alley, period, cigarettes at all. And if the police knows that then they could actually give them a ticket, which will raise money for the community, and be able to search them, all right, and when they have guns on them and they have illegal drugs, all right, they can arrest them. Alright, I'm having surgery on my arm on the 26th of February. I can't do no more. Alright? And it's getting out of hand. And I went to the police many times. And there shouldn't be any smoking. If you guys could do something about it, you know. I talked to Steve about it. You know, I went and measured with another vet, and there's too many doors. You know, there shouldn't be any smoking at all. And if you guys could do something, that's all I ask, all right, because it's getting out of hand. It's okay. A drug fest back there.
Thank you, Mr. Bunch. We will look into...
I have to go because I'm out of oxygen.
That's fine. Yeah, thank you.
You guys have a good evening. God bless.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We'll check into... whether there's anything the city can do. I don't know if businesses are required to post a sign about the 25.
It was, you may. The law does provide in the instance that he's complaining that the owners can post on their building, or if the building has been leased, it's the responsibility of the lessor to do that. The 25-foot rule applies to intakes. To areas that prohibit smoking. Mm-hmm. So intakes to buildings that are private would not apply. But in this case, I'm going to meet with that gentleman.
Okay.
and talk with him and see if we can't work out some
Okay. Appreciate that, Chief. Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else who would like to address the council that's not on our list here? Okay, thank you. Okay, next on the agenda is the fire chief's report. Your audience is leaving.
Evening, Council. First off, I'd like to acknowledge that we have one of our fire commissioners here in attendance tonight, Mr. Bruce Ansel.
Okay.
So if you have any questions of the board of commissioners, he'll be coming to as many meetings as he can. So.
Okay, that's great.
Having said that, I'm sharing with you our end-of-the-year chief's report. Just point out a couple of things. You can see that the calls for 2017 were a little bit less than 2016. We were down about 200 calls total for the year. And on the next page, you can see for December that the difference between Blaine and Semiahmoo area as far as calls go, 67 calls in the city and 3 in Semiahmoo. So there's a difference there. Mm-hmm. Just briefly run through there. On the training report, there's a nice picture of 4 new volunteer recruits that just graduated academy. And the guy in the middle was playing in the Pipes and Drums band. That's why he's wearing the kilt. Thought I'd point that out.
Not a new uniform.
That's not our dress uniform for the Pipes and Drums that entertained during the during the graduation ceremony. And he was also one of the instructors of the academy. So he got an award for that. And other than that, I'll just answer any questions you might have. We'll keep it short.
Any questions for Fire Chief?
Nope.
No?
No. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, we have a few written communications. A letter from Boys and Girls Club Stewardship Committee regarding Blaine's financial support of the Boys and Girls Club. It's an email from David Wilbrecht regarding AWC City Action Days. Email from David Wilbrecht regarding the council retreat on January 20th. And do we have any others?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Moving right along, we have a consent agenda to approve some bills in minutes. So we have approval of bills in the amount of $65,274.03, approval of the January 8th council meeting minutes, approval of January 19th special council minutes, and resolution 1726-18 dealing with surplus electric transformers. Is there any questions on any of the items on the consent agenda from council? Okay, I do have a question on the transformers. I noticed there's quite a few of them on the list. Is this something we kind of save these up, put them somewhere for a period of time? Is this like a year's worth or 2 years'
worth?
Last
time we did one.
It's been several years since we've done a surplus of transformers.
I figured it must have been sometime. Yeah. Sometime.
And we also did a big shipment of new ones, so we're making room.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that was my only
question.
Only question. Another question?
What is the advance pay for $9,041.58?
That was a deposit on the community center sign, the new sign. They required a deposit.
So there's no more questions. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
So moved by Councilor Lawrenson, seconded by Councilor Stewart. Any questions? Any further questions? Okay, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carried. Okay, we have an action item that we will be after our special session, executive session, at the end of the meeting, then we'll come in and take action on this item. Okay, we've got next on the agenda is commission, committee, and board reports. I think I will just go to each council member and see if they have any reports to make instead of going through each one.
Councilor Hawkins, do you have any reports?
No.
Okay. Councilor Rule?
No reports.
No report.
No
Councilor
report.
Lawrenson? No report. Councilor Stewart?
I just want to mention that at the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee, we did have the new, Don Goldberg, I believe, is the new Port Economic Development, and he is willing to be a very interested partner in trying to get what we're doing in Blaine coordinated with the port. So I think that's very positive.
Okay, good. Councilor Davidson?
The WTA elected Kathy Watson, the city council person from Ferndale, as the chair.
Okay. And I do have a few things to mention about the Small Cities Caucus, which is a monthly meeting the mayor attends along with the city manager. I was elected vice chair of that group, And the main discussion during that meeting was something called WRIA. I'm not sure they have WRIA, discussion and strategy, and that stands for Water Resources Inventory Area. And we are in Area 1. We're like one of 60 or something around there in the state. And there are a lot of water rights issues in this county as well as elsewhere in the state. And we have to come up with coordinated strategy among all the cities and the county as well. And so much of the discussion centered on that. Also on the Council of Governments, which has the mayors and heads of various government bodies in the county that attend this, and this is a monthly meeting. I was elected to the Executive Committee, the Council Board, and the Transportation Policy Board. And those meetings are generally held on the same day, which makes it much more convenient. And also, I just might mention, maybe the city manager was going to cover this, I don't know, but there is a legislative session, city-focused session called AWC City Action Days, taking place this week. The city manager and I are going to go down for that. We'll head down tomorrow, and we will be meeting with four representatives and two senators dealing with issues of funding that the city needs to pursue for the exit 274 interchange, as well as East Plain infrastructure. And we're requesting considerable amounts of money that we need to meet with some of these legislators that are on these committees that make these decisions. And we want to make sure they fully understand our situation and give some consideration for our needs up here. And that is all I have. The next item is department reports, so we'll call on Public Works first.
Right. So thank you for mentioning that. That is a really valuable time, not only listening to the AWC advocates and what they're paying attention to at the legislative level, but having that face time. So thank you for doing that. Just a brief update. The Public Works Advisory Committee, our next meeting is on February 1, and we're still searching for a new citizen representative to take Mr. Davidson's place. I was asked to give an update on the Vista Terrace electrical project. We are down to two homes. Everybody else has been turned over to Green Power. The two homes are both a little on the complex side. One is needing a new service pole, and the other citizen wants to go underground. So it's just a little more scheduling on our part, and all the storms and stuff that's taken long. But I'm assured that they will get to the one with the underground service probably not till spring, because we don't really create a mess at the road, and the new pole probably next month. So we're getting down there. We have great little conservation kits that we want to distribute out to all the residents there. Just kind of a thank you for being a part of Blue Power and being so patient. We just kind of decided to order those as part of our BPA incentive program. So, let's see. Also came up on Saturday, Gateway Storm Pond, and what's up with that. And that project is, I think we brought to you, I want to say 2015, I think, that we just didn't have enough landowners to participate to make the, to kick in any of the funding sources that we had at the time. We no longer have the Public Works Trust Fund loan for that project, but we did as a part of the negotiations with the Chuckanut Foods land acquisition, as well as furthering the conversation as we're getting ready to start with the Boblet project, where we're doing channelization work and around the Boblet Court and all of that. That agenda, it's in my interest, and I was part of the purchase and sale agreement that they participate when we do that. So I think it's going to boil down to who we sell the property to on the north side and whether or not it makes sense for them to participate. And then we'll have a feeling for the amount of land that we are capable of serving and how many of those landowners are interested. So the plan could still be the size of what it was originally scoped to be for all the airport property. We could be looking at whether we want to take in more of the properties off of Boblett or if we want to just keep it on the south side. So we're kind of in that holding pattern at the moment, but we're definitely looking for growing opportunities. And that is actually the next thing I was going to mention is I've gotten a slew of grant calls for different things, mostly transportation related. One of those is related to freight. So I'm looking at potentially trying to package some of those together to maybe get more of our CIP done. So I'm always looking at those opportunities. Sometimes we can't afford the 20% match that some of these require. So we have to kind of look at it very strategically. And I kind of thought of two of the ones that I just got that maybe the two could be piled together to maybe do some improvements on SR 543. So we'll keep you posted. I always let you know when we get money. We're also following the state legislature pretty closely. As you probably read in the paper, the decision in Hearst on the water deal does affect Blaine, not in a really huge way, because we're not really in the Nooksack River Basin, but it means that the landowners that want to develop in Blaine don't have to prove that they're not in the Nooksack Basin, which is nice. We're also looking very closely to where the capital budget lands. 274 has gotten a couple of nibbles on it right now, so that's exciting. It sounds like the Public Works Trust Fund might be coming back out of hiding, which is also really exciting. That's been kind of a bargaining chip, it seems, for the legislature for a while, and as a result, there haven't been any funds available yet. I'm going to be incorporating some of the feedback that you gave us on Saturday in my work plan. We'll be talking about that on the staff level, so I'm looking forward to that. And, of course, hiring an assistant director is a big part of that list for me. Becoming more so on a daily basis. Finally, just kind of a little tidbit. I was looking at the offer list from the Department of Ecology on the grant and loan programs for this next fiscal year, and while the list is still open to public comment, Fundo was on the list for a wastewater treatment plant expansion in a tune of about $26.7 million. So I knew this was kind of coming down the pike, and we talked about that a little bit, I think, when we've discussed rates in the past, but I do think that the other cities are going to be starting to creep up to their wastewater rate here. Over time, as they also need to conform to the requirements that we do. So that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Any questions, Raven? Okay, thank you, Raven.
I just wanted to give you a couple of quick information items, and then I have a request. The first information item is I haven't really given you a full update on enforcement for a while. We're kind of closing out the end of the year, and we'll give you a year-end report on development as well as enforcement. So if you're curious on anything in particular, let me know, drop me an email, or certainly feel free to ask me questions. But we probably will bring you back a full report in February. The process for getting bids for the demolishing 665 Peace Portal is ongoing. So Tim had a really positive meeting with some potential bidders, about probably six or eight companies. It's kind of a little hard to, I don't remember, honestly. There were multiple, more than that many people. I think it was about six is what Tim said. So at least we're looking at getting some bids in this time, which is good. Although they did indicate that it was likely to be pretty expensive, which is unfortunate. So the other item is I wanted to report that we did receive a grant from the Rose Foundation for $20,000 for Marine Park shoreline restoration planning. Kudos to Alex Winger for that applying through that process. The Rose Foundation is out of California. It's a communities and nonprofit and watershed shoreline restoration kind of a nonprofit focus. And so this will be not for doing work, but for actually developing the engineering plans for the next phases of that work down there, which hopefully makes us have a shovel-ready project for potentially moving us ahead on other things. And then finally, my request is related to the Downtown Association. Their board, when they incorporated a couple of weeks ago, they established a board that has an ex officio position for the city. And I would be happy to volunteer to fill that position, but I think it would be important for the city to officially kind of state that I am that person or whoever you decide to have be that person. So whether the city manager wants to direct me otherwise or you do, at this point I'm filling in that role. So I would just ask for some confirmation on that. Mm-hmm. Okay with you? I have Mr. Hawkins' vote.
Everybody's on the same page on Michael Dean. All right.
Yes.
You got it, Michael.
Great. Thank you.
You
anything else? Any questions for me?
Thank you. Okay, next is public safety. Chief?
Nothing.
Okay. Administrative services?
No report.
No report. And city manager?
Council, I just have a couple of things tonight. We were notified that the grocery store has pulled from our project. They decided to kind of withdraw right now. They've not lost interest. I don't think it's a long-term thing, but they've told us that so we can continue to market the property. I had a long conversation with John Quinn. He was the fellow that was here, you know, recently from their company, and asked him if there's anything that we could have done differently, and he said no. He said, we think you've got a great project. You've got a great piece of land. This particular developer grocery store, they have hundreds of stores, and this is just one of their changes. He said, I wouldn't take it anywhere near seriously other than the fact that you should go out and still continue to market your property. So the good news, I think, is we recognize the interest by somebody that we think or a company is good. So I asked, how did that happen? And he said that that someone drove by it. So that store had people out looking for locations, which is important because we were thinking that the lead came through the Internet or some kind of an online search that was held through our previous real estate brokers. So that's not the case. So we're going to reactivate Mike Kent and Jeff Johnson and get them back on it. We're going to finish up the purchase and sale with Yorkston's. That paperwork is all done. It's in Yorkston's corporate office to be signed. We'll finish that. We'll sign it ourselves. You've already authorized us to do that. That then initiates the next set of work, which is divide the property and separate those two spaces out. So that would mean once that's done, all the trucks and trailers parked on that parcel next to 543 get eliminated as part of our exchange. So that's going to take probably a few months to get that through. There has to be soils, inspections and testing and some of those kinds of things done. So we're continuing to move forward on that project, and we'll get done with that. I also wanted to mention and thank the council for the time you spent Saturday on the retreat. I thought that was really a terrific time to get together. We learned a lot about what your priorities and interests are for the next year. And we'll be finalizing that information in a report back to you. We've got all the notes that were taken, and Sherry's office is going to be working on putting all that in a report, and we'll bring that back to the council probably the first meeting in February.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for the city manager from council? No?
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Okay, please take note of the calendar of events coming up in the next few weeks. And next item is we will recess for an executive session, approximately 30 minutes, maybe?
I'd probably give it 45.
45 minutes?
Okay.
And then we will be coming back for some action on, I think, a couple collective bargaining contracts. And other than that, there's no other business before us. So thank you. We'll recess for about 45 minutes.